for this book, I'm telling you what. But in the last, I would say, 40, 30 years, something like that, we are living in a culture that I have heard them say, wow, it's going to be fun today. I have heard, you guys are going to have fun. Okay, I have heard people say, this is outdated. This Bible is outdated. It's archaic. How about that? I actually listened to a preacher. I thought, well, I'll not listen to you again. But he said, you know, this Bible doesn't fit in today's culture. I actually heard somebody. I was like, you're off my list. Okay. But, okay, yeah. Because, you know, we do that. All right. And listen to this. So he said, this Bible doesn't fit in this culture. It needs to be updated. Okay. Okay, I got news for you. This Bible is not going to get updated. It's not like your computer that sends you little notifications, time for an update. This Bible is not going to get updated. This Bible fits for every culture, every time, all kinds of people, okay? No matter who you are, what you're going through, I got news. This Bible will fit it, okay? And the moment you think, you know, I just don't think this Bible is relevant for what's going on in the culture right now, okay? Matter of fact, I don't want it to fit. Matter of fact, I'm going to go the opposite way. I got news, you are bucking up for trouble, right? As my dear friend used to say, that's a recipe for disaster. Yeah, it is. So, question, here you go, get to participate. How many of you have ever heard of King Solomon? Okay. Good. All right. King Solomon. Okay. What was King Solomon known for? The wisest man that ever lived. Okay. Of course, not Jesus. Okay. Jesus, like, up there. So, but when you think of Solomon, we usually say he was the wisest man that ever lived, right? And he wrote a book in this Bible. Anybody want to yell and participate? The book of Proverbs. All right. King Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book that he wrote. You know, when I say Proverbs, I had this one person say this to me. Okay, you know, I probably had too much coffee starting at 5:30, so I will try to not be Jersey and be really sweet. But when I said to somebody, you know, I just love reading the book of Proverbs, they said to me, oh, are you kidding me? That's a book of poems. I was like, and let me tell you, the Cashmans, not my side of the family, the Cashmans, there's a bunch of them that write poems. And I'm like, really? Yeah, some of them, and they read them to you at special events. I'm like, okay. I know. No names mentioned. Okay, because they're not here today. But anyway, so this person said, read the book of Proverbs. It's a bunch of poems. And I'm like, wait a minute, Bubba. I really feel good. This is the living word of God. This is God's word. This is life. Read it, okay? So Proverbs. So why do we have the book of Proverbs? Well, we're going to get into that. But basically, Proverbs is written so you can obtain wisdom. Everybody say, obtain wisdom. Now, you could write this down, but wisdom does not come through and by osmosis. Because I'm a Christian. No. Nope. Matter of fact, we're going to find out, and we're going to see this over and over. Wisdom comes because you are searching for it. You have to search for wisdom. And this is a good book full of wisdom, all right? How many of you ever done a Google search? Matter of fact, before I even got upstairs here today, I was like searching Google for, you know, da-da-da-da-da, okay? But listen, you can't search Google for the wisdom of God, all right? You can find the wisdom of God in this. You can find it in Proverbs. You can find it in God, okay? That's where you get the wisdom of God, when you search out wisdom and you find it in the Bible. Now, wisdom, another novel idea. Wisdom, so sorry. Wisdom doesn't come with age. Have you ever heard someone say, oh, you know, that's a older person? Right? So they're full of wisdom. I know some people that are older. Older than me, same age as me. Okay, I know some older people, and the last word that I'd slap on the back of their name is wisdom. They are walking in no wisdom. They are like, whoa, no wisdom, okay? And that, listen, so that's because they're walking in what Bible calls an earthly wisdom, okay? An earthly wisdom or a natural wisdom, but then there's this thing called godly wisdom, and godly wisdom obviously comes from God. Godly wisdom comes from the Word of God. Matter of fact, in the New Testament, we're going to talk about this later on in the series. Listen to what the Bible says. Christ has been made wisdom to us. You should write that down. Christ has been made wisdom to us. Okay, so Jesus is now wisdom. He's wisdom. If you accepted Jesus Christ, he lives in your heart. Guess what? You can tap into his wisdom. Isn't that phenomenal? That's like, whoa. All right, so let's get into the Word of God. Open up to Proverbs. We are going to probably do 15 scriptures of Proverbs, so just camp out there. If you need a Bible to follow along, or you know those yellow cards? Anybody have a yellow card? Just wave it in the air. If you want to get the greeters, ushers, anybody, if you want one of those, just jot down the scriptures, okay? Because we're going to dig into Proverbs. We're going to talk about wisdom. First one, Proverbs chapter 1. Y'all with me? Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to read this out of the Message Bible. It's just one of those easy reads. I love it, okay? Proverbs chapter 1, here we go. These are the wise sayings of Solomon, David's son, king, Israel's king, written down so we will know how to live well. I like that. And right, to understand what life means and where it's going. Now check out this next phrase. A manual for living. So Solomon wrote Proverbs, and he's saying Proverbs is a manual for living. How many of you would agree? This is a manual. If you've ever read it, this is a manual for living. All right? So a manual for living, learning what's right and just and fair, to teach the inexperienced the ropes and to give young people a grasp on reality. Okay, so when this was written in the Jewish culture, young Jewish boys, young Jewish girls were actually raised by their parents, not whatever. Okay, so, and this book of Proverbs, they were all trained in the book of Proverbs. Like, this is, you know, this is what you get trained in, okay? And you want to say why? Well, it says to give young people a grasp on reality. All right, when my kids were little, we had family devotions. And we would go through the book of Proverbs. It's just real easy. Just real easy. Just take it apart. I'm just going to say y'all should do that. All right, so let's keep reading. Here we go. So we got young people. And then it says, there's something here also for seasoned men and women. Still a thing or two for the experienced to learn. If you're here today and you're seasoned, that means you're older. Okay, and you're going to like this, but you're older, y'all know what we're talking about? So I was thinking about that as I was getting ready to prepare this. I was thinking back when Jack and I started YCF this year, 2024, it'll be 40 years ago, okay, and we were 27 and 29. We were inexperienced and not too seasoned, and we would have people come visit YCF, and they would say this, hey, you know, I think I'm going to come back someday when you're older, experienced, okay? Okay, but listen, we surrounded ourselves with elders that were seasoned, full of wisdom, okay? We weren't just flying young and dumb, all righty? Some days, yeah, okay. So let's read this again, okay? There's something here also for seasoned men and women older, still a thing or two for them to learn, fresh wisdom. Anybody need some wisdom? Like you are in a situation and you're like, I do not know what to do. Okay, wisdom. And now there's a difference between earthly wisdom or naturally wisdom. And I'm not saying don't go after them. You go after natural things. But then there's this thing called godly wisdom. It's supernatural. It comes from the Word of God and it's amazing, okay? So fresh wisdom to probe and penetrate the rhymes and reasons of wise men and women. Okay, so today we're going to talk about what are the Proverbs. What are the Proverbs, all right? Because I think if you can get an understanding what this book of Proverbs is about, if you can see what this book of Proverbs is about, you will start to dig in it. You will start to dig for wisdom. You will start to get wisdom. So that's my hope for you all today. Yeah. I don't know. I've been on the planet coming up 70 years, and it's whacked. It's crazy. And the longer I live, I'm going, oh my gosh, I need wisdom, all right? If you are a parent, you need wisdom, okay? I'm a grandparent, and I'm like, whoa, I need wisdom, okay? Because your kids are hearing and seeing tough stuff, all right? And as a parent, you go, oh my gosh, what do I do? What do I say? You need wisdom. Anybody need wisdom? Yeah. Okay. So, one, you're going to love them. And two, you need to talk to them. Okay? And this is what I would say. I'd say, honey, sit down. This is the Word of God. And we are a Christ follower, and we're going to follow the Word of God. Okay? And then we used to have this. We said, all questions are on the table. You can ask anything. And then I'd go, Jack, oh my gosh, I don't know how to answer that. Okay, wisdom, all right? But talk to your kids, talk to your teens, talk, and just say, this is what the Word of God says. Okay, moving on. That was sort of like a side trail, all righty? So Proverbs, we're going to dig in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is kind of interesting in a lot of ways. It really talks, a lot of it talks to or appeals to our senses. It appeals to our senses. Turn over to Proverbs 24. Listen to this. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, starting in verse 13. It appeals to people's senses. Listen to this. Eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey from the honeycomb is sweet to your taste. Know also that wisdom is like honey for you if you find it. Everybody say, if you find it. You know what that means? You got to go after it. That means you got to go digging for wisdom, all right? So if you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. My friend Michelle, she's been doing this to me for years, okay? All right, on a side note, do you know that honey is the oldest sweetener in the world? Now, has anybody ever given you or you bought honey that was from a beehive, like local? So I live in Dover, and right down the street, I don't even know the name of the place, but they have their own bee boxes or beehives, and I buy honey there. If you've ever got honey, like fresh honey, it is totally a different color, yeah? And it tastes so much different than the grocery store, right? And let me tell you a little trivia. Thank you, Michelle. You're so precious. Michelle's been taking care of me for how many years? How old is Stuart? 34 years. Michelle's been taking care of me. All right. Did you also know that honey's actually good for you? So let's say you have sinus and allergy problems. They say if you go, like for me, I live in Dover, if I were to go to that place that sells honey, if you go and buy local honey where you live, so I live in Dover, I'm going to go buy that from that sweet lady, okay? And they said if you start taking that honey, it actually helps your allergies that are local protect you against them, okay? Anybody ever hear that before? Yeah. Okay, just trivia, all right. Now, did you notice we're talking about honey? It's appealing to our senses. So some of you are like, I could care less about honey. I don't even like honey. Well, listen to this. Turn over to Proverbs 16. I'm going to get you. You ready? Proverbs 16:16. Here we go. Acquiring wisdom. Getting wisdom. Acquiring wisdom is much better than gold. Now I got all your attention. Right? Money. We're talking about money, all right? Keep reading. And acquiring understanding is better than silver. So how many of you agree, let's just say you had all this gold, just piles of it, you could probably buy anything, yeah? go anywhere? Yeah? Okay? Matter of fact, you might be like, I'm not even going to be in church, man. I got all this gold. I'm just going to this church thing because I've got all this gold. But look what Solomon said. Acquiring wisdom is better than what? Gold. All right? So you ought to underline that. Ready? Praise God. So let's talk about wisdom. What is wisdom? Let me give you a definition, really simple. What is wisdom? Here we go. Wisdom is knowledge acquired. Wisdom is knowledge acquired. Real simple, okay? So you're here in church today. Guess what you're going to hear? A lot of knowledge. That's what I do. I get knowledge from the Word of God, and I just spit it out all over you, all right? So you are hearing knowledge today. But the wisdom is, what are you going to do with the knowledge? If you take that knowledge and apply it into your life, that's wisdom, right? That's why James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, okay? So acquiring knowledge and applying it into your life, that's wisdom. Acquiring knowledge, that's wisdom. All right. Next direction. So probably the first 10 chapters in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is called her. H-E-R, her. Did anybody ever recognize that? Wisdom is called her, all right? And the reason why, because when they wrote this, wisdom was described as a woman, okay? So let's get it down today. So let's just say today, why would they say wisdom is a her? So today, how should you treat a woman? How should you treat a lady? They say, that's how you should treat wisdom. All of you that are married or got a boyfriend, a girlfriend, yeah, I got this straight here, yeah. Okay, how should you treat your wife? How about precious? How should you treat your girlfriend? Precious. And that's why wisdom is listed as a her. You treat wisdom as precious. Okay, little golden nugget. Fathers, grandfathers, you are the best teacher to your kids on how to treat a woman. So, start today. Alrighty. Okay, precious, here we go. Praise God. So, wisdom is found in the book of Proverbs, and here's something that's really crazy about this. In the book of Proverbs, so wisdom is like a her, it says her, but listen to this, no comments, men, I'm going to say this. Wisdom talks about herself. The wisdom her talks about herself, okay? Open up to Proverbs 8, verse 7. Ready? Verse 27. Proverbs 8, verse 27. Wisdom talks about herself. Here we go. Proverbs 8, verse 27. When he, that's referring to God, prepared the heavens, okay? We could also say Jesus, based on John 1:1, right? Because in the beginning was the word, Jesus, right? And the word Jesus was with God. And the word Jesus was God. Jesus was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him. And then Jesus, who was making things, was like, let there be light and let there be all things, okay? So God is saying wisdom, talking about wisdom, and wisdom is talking about herself, okay? So I'm going to read this again. And he prepared the heavens, and listen to what wisdom says, and I was there. Wisdom's talking about her, and I was there, all right? He drew a circle on the face of the deep, and he established the clouds above, and he strengthened the foundations of the deep, and wisdom would yell, and I was there, right? And he assigned the seas its limit, and the waters would not transgress his commands. When he marked out the fountains of the earth, then I, wisdom, talking about herself, I was beside him as a master craftsman. All right, how many of you know there is a difference between a master craftsman and then I watch 6 YouTube videos? So I had 4 kids, and they were rough, okay? And then they got a Karate Kid came out. So they're doing karate kicks and punches. I ended up with some holes in my wall. Lots of I'm sorrys, okay? And Jack was like, I can fix this, all right? And this is before YouTube, okay? And then I'd walk by that wall that he patched, the drywall, and I'm like,
I know exactly where that hole is. You cut that thing in, okay? All right? Yeah, not a master. And then I met a master drywaller, and his name is Ron. And he is worth every penny because he came back and fixed all this stuff, okay? Master, all righty? All right? Now, YouTube's good for some things, and there's other times, y'all, call the master. How many of you ever took shop class and you made a bird feeder or a jewelry box, okay? Jack made this jewelry box. One of my kids swiped it. I don't know who has it. They're so cute. They just walk off with things, okay? And he's like, look what I made. I was like, oh, that's really nice, honey. Okay, and then a couple years down the road, we were visiting some friends, and they redid their family room, and the master craftsman woodworker made these cabinets and bookshelves. He didn't go to IKEA and buy those prefab things and bang them in. No, no, he made them. Master craftsman. So why do I tell you all of that? You and I have the ability to tap into the master craftsman who has made everything, and you can go to him and tap into his wisdom. So you should write that down. I get to tap into the master craftsman. Amen. All right. So the rest of that verse says, and then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Now, turn over to Proverbs 9. I told you we're in Proverbs. Y'all write these down? Proverbs 9, verse 11. Proverbs 9, verse 11. For by me, now again, this is wisdom. She's talking about herself, okay? For by me, your days will be multiplied, and the years of your life will be added to you. Okay, what's he saying? Wisdom. Wisdom is going to help you out in every area of your life, but you have to go search for wisdom and go dig for wisdom, okay? So we need wisdom more than we need gold. We need wisdom more than we need silver. We need wisdom more than you need a boyfriend or girlfriend. What, Pastor D? I need that boyfriend. I need that girlfriend. You know, no, maybe wisdom might say to you, you do not need that boyfriend or that girlfriend because that is a recipe for disaster. Okay? Everybody say amen or oh me. Somebody, oh me, Pastor D. Sometimes we don't like to listen to wisdom. I know. I have a whole list of boo-boos, so I didn't listen to wisdom. Okay. Flip over to your New Testament, to the book of James. The book of James was written by James. James was the half-brother of Jesus, okay? And he wrote this book. James, listen to this, was not a follower of Jesus when Jesus was walking on the earth for 30 and a half years, okay? He was not a follower of him, all right? And the Bible and the historians say that James came to believe in Jesus after Jesus died and rose again. I was like, yeah. And I was like, whoa, you didn't even believe your brother was the Son of God? Like, and then Jesus dies and he's resurrected and he's you know, and doing all this. And you're like, oops, maybe I should have followed him. But James did. Eventually, James did. And he wrote this book. James chapter 3. Let's do this. James chapter 3, verse 17. Don't you love a little background on what you're reading? Yeah. Okay, James 3, 17, here we go. Wisdom that comes from who? God is first, utterly pure. Oh, by the way, I'm reading out of the J.B. Phillips translation. It is translated just really close to the Greek, all right? Plus, it was one of Jack's old Bibles, and it just sits around. I just love reading it, okay? But this is why I'm picking this, okay? Here we go. Wisdom that comes from God is first utterly pure, then peace-loving, gentle, approachable, full of tolerant thoughts, whew, kind actions with no breath of favoritism or hypocrisy, and then watch what it says. Ready? And wise are the peacemakers. Everybody say peacemakers. Not all of you said that. Say that again. Peacemakers, okay. Wise are the peacemakers, okay? So when I think back on 2020 and all the stuff that was going on, there was so much strife and offense and fighting, and I watched church people jump in the middle of the pile on their social media. Oh, I'm just gonna just go fight everybody on social media. But look what this says. But it says, we are to be what? Peacemakers first. So wise are peacemakers first. Say, I'm a peacemaker. All right? Do you know who you fight? The devil. Do you know who you fight? Ready? Sickness and disease. You know who you fight? Poverty and lack. And the Bible says that the battle is not against flesh and blood. Talk to the person next to you. The battle is not against you. Yeah. Okay? It's against the devil. All right? So let's keep reading. And the wise are peacemakers who go on quietly, quietly sowing for a harvest. Not publicly, look at me, look what I did. Okay? None of that. Quietly sowing for a harvest of righteousness in other people and themselves. So in case you don't know, by the way, you can go on ycf.com, and at the top on the, what hand is this? Right-hand side, you can see the places that we support. When I say we all, y'all, okay? So these are missions that we support through and by your giving. Okay, we have local missions that we support, and we have overseas missions. Our local missions is Harvest of Blessing, New Life for Girls, and this year for 2024, we're taking on Life Path Ministries because I got to spend time with one of their representatives, and they do amazing stuff, okay? So we support them, all right? We support them through and by your giving, all righty? And that means that we are helping others. Ta-da! Amen. So thank you. And then I have a team that does the budget. Okay. And then everybody was like, oh, Pastor, you needed a budget. I'm like, you are not going to like it when I slap you down with the budget. But I got people of faith on the budget this year. And they go, come on, Pastor D, let's believe God for more so we can give more for missions. So we jacked it up. Like, I'm doing math in my head. Another $10,000. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Okay. Alrighty. Let me give you a definition for Proverbs. If you're taking notes, this is a real simple definition for Proverbs. Okay? What is a proverb? A proverb is, in the Hebrew, it translates as a rule. But I'm going to add to it. Okay. A rule, a Bible doctrine set in a two-line poem which rules and governs the life of a God follower. I said, you know, the other day I was reading this and I was like, the Godfather. No, a Godfather follower. Okay, I'm going on this. Okay. Now, sometimes when we think of rules, we're like, those are rules of you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that. But this is not what it's talking about. Okay, so I'm going to read it again. It's rules that govern the life of a God follower. All right? Okay. They are Bible doctrine set to two lines of poems. And again, these are, stupid poems. No, these are God's word, okay? Okay, so God's word. A Bible doctrine set to two lines poems, okay, which rule and govern the life of a God follower. I did it again, okay. So just think on that and see if you can say it five times fast. All right, I'm going to change directions. I want to talk a little bit about this subject called the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Write that down. The fear of the Lord. Because the Bible says in Proverbs that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Okay? The beginning of getting wisdom, the beginning of is the fear of the Lord. All right? Anybody ever hear of John Bevere? Awesome. Awesome man of God writes book. My first book that just was like I taught out of. Matter of fact, I did a grow group real easy because it's got DVDs and it's got a book and it's got questions. Was called The Bait of Satan. And it's all about offense, understanding offense. And this was, we did 2 weeks. I say this all the time. We finished 2 weeks. We're walking into this classroom. I actually did it at the church. So we walked into this classroom and this girl comes running in. Pastor D, I think I've been offended my whole life. Oh my gosh! As she's reading this book, it's just bringing light to this way she's lived life, all right? So, good book, all right? But John Bevere in the 90s wrote a book called The Fear of the Lord. And this past year, he wrote a book called The Awe of God. Do they got it up there? They'll put it up there. Thanks, guys. Just put it up there. The Awe of God. So it's really a part two to part one. And the reason why he wrote this is because when you write a book called The Fear of God, everybody wants to run away. Nobody wants to know this. Nobody wants to do this. Nobody understands this. So he wrote the second book, The Awe of God, and all the Cashmans got it for Christmas. Some of y'all, I gave it to you as a present too, all right? Okay. All right. Okay, just jot this down. Proverbs 9:10, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, okay? Jump down now to Proverbs 15. I told you we're going to be hanging out in Proverbs. You're going to love Proverbs. You're going to just love it. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So you know what that tells me? And is that when we understand humility, not, hey, I got the title of so-and-so and so-and-so, you know, I am so big and so mighty and so cool. No, he's saying when you go after humility and the fear of the Lord, then God will slap honor on you. When you go after humility and the fear of the Lord, God will give honor to you. You don't need to have a calling card made up. You don't need your name on a billboard, okay? Praise God. Matter of fact, God says, you go after humility and you go seek my kingdom first and you go after the things concerning the fear of the Lord, then I'm just going to honor you. So let me give you a definition of the fear of the Lord. And, you know, I was pulling a bunch of them together and I was like, okay, this is a good one. So for today, this is a good one. Tomorrow I might change it. But definition, they're going to pop it up on the screen. The fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is not a mere fear of his power and righteous retribution, okay? It's not, oh my gosh, I'm afraid of God. You know, if I muff up, that's it. Okay? That's not it, okay? So the fear of the Lord is not a mere fear of his power. God is powerful, and there is a retribution coming for those, okay? But it's a wholesome dread of displeasing him. Okay, wholesome. Now, I'll tell you unwholesome. When your dad gets home, you're in for it. Okay. Moms, don't ever say that, okay? That's an unwholesome dread, all right? But this is a wholesome dread of displeasing God, all right? In other words, I don't want to displease God more than anything on the world, anything in the planet. Because, guys, someday we all are going to stand before the Lord Jesus, and I don't want to hear, not well done, D. Okay? I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Okay? Because I have lived my life to please him. Right? Please him. Please him. I don't want to displease him. Now, are there times that I have displeased God? Yeppers. Are there times that you've displeased God? You just botched it up. Yep. Okay? But fear of the Lord is not a mere fear of his power and righteous retribution, but a wholesome dread of displeasing him. One translator wrote it this way: the fear of the Lord is consumed with an awe of God. That's that book title. An awe of God as we worship him. So a little while ago, we were worshiping God. You know, you can worship at home. We can worship in our worship service. And there's times that I just go, I just sense God. I just sense and I'm in awe that he's my God, he's my Father, okay? Now, I have to say this. I am not in awe of a lot of things. I got to tell you a story. I was so pitiful, okay? So I'm on a family vacation, and we're going to this sightseeing site, and it's got this underwater pool. And you had to march down like 1,000 steps, and I'm with family. We marched down, and then you can go swimming in there, and they got a light bulb hanging there because we are in the 1,000 steps down in the hole in the ground. Yeah, and we're just swimming around. Then we march up those 1,000 steps, and my sister Liz goes, "Gee, wasn't that awesome?" And I was like, "It's just a hole in the ground, swimming pool." She has not let me live that down. None of them have. They all love. Okay, but guys, I am not in awe of a lot. That didn't. I'm not in awe of a lot of things, but I will tell you, I am in awe of God. God, who is my Father, that desired me and brought me into his family, who has crowned me with glory and riches and honor. God, who loves me when I am messed up. God, who just created this universe, I am in awe. Okay, take a breath. All right. So I have been studying this Bible for about 40 years, probably even a little bit longer, And every time, I still read this Bible, every time I read something and I'm like, what? That's in the Bible? And I'm like, oh, God. Okay? I still, you know, and if you have this awe of God, that he would write this Bible, this word of God for you, if you have that, this, you would be in awe every time you cracked open your Bible. So this is what I do. I hold my Bible and I go, Father, I thank you. This is your word. This is your word to me. Pat, what's John Osteen sing? Used to say, this is the word of God. This is my Bible. Okay. Amen. Go ask Pat. That's really good. But now I just go, God, this is your word for me. Light and life for my life. And I am in awe, and I thank you that you open my eyes today as I read your word. And every day I'm like, what? This is in there. And some days I get two sentences, and other days I'm like, I'm plowing through a chapter, okay? Okay, anyway, praise the Lord. So let me show you a few things about the fear of the Lord, okay? And turn over to Proverbs 6:16. Told you we're digging into Proverbs. Proverbs 6:16. I really want to get to the second part, but I'll read the first part anyway. Iniquity is atoned for by loyalty and faithfulness. This is where I want to get to. And one turns from evil by the fear of the Lord. The Amplified would say, and one departs, and one avoids evil by the fear of the Lord. All right. How many of you know we got a lot of evil going on this planet? Like, lots. Turn on the news for 30 minutes and you're going crazy, bad, evil, okay? But I got news. It's been going on from Bible times to now, all right? There's a lot of evil going on. So here's my question. How do I turn from evil? Fear of the Lord. How do I turn from evil? The fear of the Lord, all right? So what's the fear of the Lord? I do not want to do anything to displease my Father who loves me. I do not want to do anything to displease him. So the fear of the Lord is, I'm going to turn from evil, all right? So how about this? I got this thing, there's this thing that I could do and I think I want to do and it's wrong, but the fear of the Lord says, I'm going to turn from it. I don't want to displease my Father. That keeps me from evil, all right? It's really good checks and balances there, all right? Because, listen, there is a lot of junk in the world. And understanding the fear of the Lord that I don't want to displease my Father who loves me so much will make me quickly turn. Amen. All right. So, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Here we go. Everybody say benefits. I like benefits. You're right, benefits, right? I like benefits, okay? Okay. So, if, what are the benefits to the fear of the Lord? So Proverbs talks about the fear of the Lord. What will they bring me? So my kids used to say, okay, Mom, if I clean my room, what are you going to give me? Nothing. You're having dinner tonight, okay? But God is better than that, right? Okay, so write this down. What does Proverbs say the fear of the Lord will bring to you? All right, here we go. Number one, okay? If you're older, you're going to love this one. You're going to love this, okay? This past week, I was in a room full of 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm the old person in the room. Like, what? Okay, but here we go. Proverbs, read Proverbs 10:27. Proverbs 10:27. The reverent fear of the Lord, he's going to give an explanation of what the fear of the Lord is because this is the Amplified. The reverent fear of the Lord is, here it is, worshiping, obeying, serving, trusting him with awe and respect. And guess what happens when you have the fear of the Lord? It prolongs one life, but the years of the wicked are shortened. So one of the benefits of the fear of the Lord is longevity. Now, if you're a Christian and you died early, it doesn't mean I'm calling you wicked. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? No. But listen, the fear of the Lord, God promises longevity, all right? And listen, I want to empower you to live long. Live long and strong, okay? You know, it's interesting. Some of you have genes. You just come from a good gene pool. Do you know what my gene pool is? My mom's side, 103. That was my grandmother. My aunt, my mom's sister, lived 101. And my uncle, who just passed away, was 30 days short of 100, okay? But, God bless them. But listen, this is God's promise. When you fear the Lord, you can have a long life. Long and strong. Everybody say long and strong. Okay, here's the second one. You're going to like this. You're going to like the second one. It's not what it's all about. This is not what life is all about, okay? Proverbs 22:4, okay? Humility and the fear of the Lord, so two of these things, humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. So the Bible says riches and honor are life for those that are humble and fear the Lord, all right? Now, life is not all about riches, right? Okay? Matter of fact, it says to seek first the kingdom of God, all right? But someone who fears the Lord and God's blessing their life, I can't believe I look at them. Why don't you go find out what their relationship is with the Lord, okay? And hop on the train. Just want to say that, all right? Here's number three, moving along. Praise God. Proverbs 3:13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Okay, so happiness is through the fear of the Lord. You have the fear of the Lord, you'll be happy. Everybody want to be happy? Anybody know somebody, they need some happiness. Because we all know somebody, the grump, right? Tell them to read Proverbs, the fear of the Lord. Okay, number four. I'm just going to buzz through these real quick. Number four, Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord leads to life, woohoo, and he who has it abides in satisfaction. He will not be visited by evil. So, Proverbs says the fear of the Lord will bring satisfaction. Now, I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, and y'all know the Rolling Stones? Some of you? Okay. Okay, they came out with a song called Can't Get No Satisfaction, right? Everybody know that? Still on the radio. If you know that, I know what you're listening to. Ha, 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 ha. Okay? Can't get no satisfaction. That's the world's view of life. But you know what God's view of life is? There is complete, full satisfaction in him, in Christ, in a relationship, in an understanding the fear of the law, Lord, and the awe, okay? Now, the world ain't got no satisfaction, okay? All right? And have you ever noticed, and I don't know if you remember this, the day, you know, I was a child of the 60s and 70s, and the day I met Jesus, I could take a breath. There was this full, complete, and I didn't understand it then, but I do now. Plus, we sang a song about that. Okay. Satisfaction in my life, a fullness, a peace in my life, all right? So, you can't get no satisfaction is true when you don't know God. You can't get no satisfaction when you don't know Jesus, when you don't apply the Word of God in your life. You can't get no satisfaction. That is true. Okay, moving on. I'm not singing anymore. My last one, and I could come up with 10 more, but I was like, oh, look at, we're doing good today. Hallelujah. Okay, last one. Proverbs 14:26. The fear of the Lord, 14:26, Proverbs 14:26. The fear of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge or safety. When I'm in the fear of the Lord, when I'm turning from evil, when I'm in awe of this Father who's my God, when I'm in awe, I tell you what, there is confidence in my life. I'm not freaking out. Okay. So some of you need some strong confidence, amen? Don't say amen because we'll know who you are. But last scripture, here we go. Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days carefully so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts, okay? This is what I want you to walk out of here today. I want you to get so hungry for wisdom. I just want you hungry for wisdom, right? And then that you would understand that you have, it's not osmosis, that you have to go after it. Go after wisdom. Back in 1850s, for about 10 years, there was this thing called the gold rush. The California gold rush, okay? People were leaving the East Coast and moving in buggies and wagons and going to California and the West Coast, and even, I would have stopped at California. A bunch of them went up to Alaska, okay? And they said they were coming, 300,000 people in less than a 10-year span left the East Coast to the West Coast, 300,000 to California. And what were they looking for? A piece of gold. How about we get that hungry and search out God's wisdom? Just search out God's wisdom, okay? So let me ask you a question. Do you want to spend the rest of your life learning life the hard way? Let's say it again. Do you and I want to spend the rest of our life learning life the hard way? Or how about we start finding out what God's wisdom is? Man, God's wisdom will keep me away from this. It will bring this. It'll just bless my life, okay? So you can do the hard way. What do they call that? The school of hard knocks. But I choose to go God's way. So here's your homework for 30 days, 31 days. Starting tomorrow is January 1st. Get yourself a Bible that you like to read. I have this one friend, and she reads the King James Version. I was like, huh? Okay, find a Bible that you can understand, okay? And this is your homework. Tomorrow, which is January 1st, read the first chapter of Proverbs. And then the next day is January 2nd. Read Proverbs 2. Then the next day, Proverbs 3. For the whole month, take the challenge, right? Read the book of Proverbs, right? Read the book of Proverbs. I'm telling you what. So let's bow your head and close your eyes, right? Now, I know some of you are tempted to leave, but let me give you some wisdom. Don't. Sit tight, all right? I want to give you a simple prayer to pray every day when you read that chapter in Proverbs. Just a real simple prayer. So pray this prayer on January 1st, and then pray this prayer on January 2nd, okay? Lord, help us to develop a heart of wisdom. And we just read that in Psalm 90. Lord, this is what you're going to do. You're going to hold your Bible in your hands. You're going to go, Father, Lord, help me to develop a heart of wisdom, all right? And it's just between you and God. Just, you know, when you get ready to read your Bible, that the book of Proverbs, Lord, help me to develop a heart of wisdom. I'm telling you, 2024, you're going to need it. Amen? All right, with eyes still closed and heads bowed, because that's wisdom. Just this real simple question. If you came here today and you do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, today is a great way to end the year, and tomorrow is a great way to start the year, right? And what do I mean? Do you have a relationship? Well, that's why Jesus came. Jesus came, left heaven, came to earth, walked on this planet for 33 and a half years so that you, and then he'd die on a cross and be raised from the dead so you can have a relationship with the Father and with him, right? So if you do not have that relationship and you're here going, you know, I'm tired. I just want to tell you today is a day, a good day, to have a relationship with Jesus. How do you have that? Well, it's real easy. Just believe in your heart and say with your mouth. But there's something we have to do first. Okay? It's that word repentance. And we don't like to talk about that. Okay? But repentance means I'm going to turn from the way I was going. And let me tell you, if you're living a life without Jesus, that's not the way you should go. So I'm going to turn my life from the way I was going, and I'm going to have a relationship with God, and I'm going to fall in love with him and his son, and I'm going to be in awe of him, all right? And I'm going to change the way I think and change the way I live. So I always like those benefits. What are the benefits of having Jesus in your life, all right? Well, we just talked about a lot of it, but there's a guarantee of heaven, and that's pretty good. So
I want you to, if you're here and you do not have a relationship with Jesus and you'd like to, today's going to be the greatest day of your life. And it just starts by praying this simple prayer, all right? Say it after with me, pray it with you. Just pray it from your heart, okay? And so if you've never had a relationship with Jesus, today is a great day. The other one, I always throw this out, you know, life can just hit you. And it just gets hard, and some days it's harder and harder, and I just forget to include God in my life, and next thing I know, I have drifted. Anybody ever, you know, drifted, okay? Yeah. So today, maybe it's you've had a relationship with Jesus a couple years ago or as a kid, and you've just drifted. And how about you just recommit your life? Just let's end the year with a bang and start it with even fireworks, okay? And you can say this prayer with me, all right? Matter of fact, we're all going to pray this prayer. Everybody just keep your eyes closed. Say this after me. Father, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize I'm far from you. And I need a Savior, Jesus. Right now, I repent of my sins. And I accept Jesus Christ into my life. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, and you died for mankind and me. I thank you that you are the only way to the Father. Amen. And I accept you today as my Savior and my Lord. I'm now a child of God, forever loved by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer to recommit your life, man, let's start. Let's just go big for 2024. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are going big in 2024. Either one of those things, we have Bibles up front. And I've got some people up front, coming up front. I think it's you and me today. Yeah. But we want to give you a Bible. We've got some little books just to help you on your way. And so this Bible is the most manual, all right? Just dig into it. Start in the New Testament. Just dig into it and find out that. The rest of you, what's your homework for the whole month of January? Yes, okay. Hey, you all have a wonderful, safe New Year's Eve, and I'm ready for the 2024. Amen. You are dismissed. And ushers, that's right. I'm going to talk to you in the back there.